This is Mitchell's Front Page on 94.7 The Pulse.
And Bernadette Uzlak, the CEO of the Geelong Chamber of Commerce, is on the line. Bernadette, good morning.
Good morning, Mitch. How are you?
Very well indeed. Thanks for joining us this morning. Philip Dalladakis, he's the Small Business Minister in the state government, and he's coming down to Geelong, and he's here right now, apparently.
He is indeed, so we'll be meeting with him in about an hour or so.
And what is the main purpose of his visit?
Well, he's coming down to meet with members of the business community to talk about things that are happening with the state government with regards to small business. He's also meeting with me as a member of the Small Business Ministerial Council.
And yeah, there's a fair bit to talk about, obviously,
there is, yes.
In this region. One thing of interest is the state government's draft small business regulation review. What do you make of this?
Yes, that's right. It's a really important review that's been undertaken now for about over the past 6 months. There's been quite a lot of consultation, and the Chamber was involved quite heavily in this. So there was some extensive consultation undertaken in Geelong with businesses, and now we're at the point where there is a draft of the regulation review statement, which is looking at a series of actions, and that's open for public comment now until the 23rd of June. So we have this out to our members at the moment. We're asking members to participate, to put in their own submissions if they wish, or to send their comments to the Chamber, and we will definitely be putting in a submission to the draft set of actions. And just if I could, Mitch, talk about just a few of the findings of that initial review.
Yeah.
There were probably four main areas, or a few main areas. One was the initial establishment phase of small businesses was considered to be probably the most costly part, and a lot of businesses struggle to access quality information. They may have experienced some delays in the approvals process for their business. There was just the sheer volume of regulation that they had to face was quite overwhelming. And cafes, restaurants and takeaway food services faced some fairly high regulatory costs. And on average, it's estimated that those businesses face costs such as $6,000 to as high as $10,000 per annum. This is for businesses in areas like fresh meat, fish, poultry businesses. So that's quite a lot of money for a very small business that might not even be earning that amount of profit to be spending on regulatory compliance. And then the fourth area was around retail leasing and the cost of regulation. So those are probably some of the key areas that have come out of this review into the retail sector at this point in time, and it will flow into other business sectors as well. And they're looking at a number of proposed reforms, and that's what's out for public comment at the moment.
Yeah, I've heard anecdotal evidence in business about what happens with the amount of regulatory compliance that they have to go with, and people are saying that in the past where they've had sort of one compliance person responsible for all of that, now they have to deal with, you know, three or four different people doing the same role just because of the increase in regulation.
That's exactly right. So it just adds another layer of cost. Time delays, bureaucracy, you know, a burden that small business can really do without. And I think, you know, in these days where we're trying to be smarter and, you know, do more with less, that it really is a very complicated process to sort of add these layers of regulation burden to small businesses. At the end of the day, you know, it's the small businesses that are driving our economy, and if they're held up with having to comply with all of this red tape and really don't know where they're going or what to do and just feeling the sheer burden of it all, then I think that really goes to the heart of the problem, and you know, it's something that definitely needs to be addressed.
Now, wages is up for debate at the moment with a minimum wage increase approved by the Fair Work Commission last week. But also, I know that yesterday there was some talk about this is the last public holiday before changes to penalty rates come through. At least that's what Bill Shorten said. So times are changing.
Times are changing, and I think that is a normal part of the process. I think with the Fair Work Commission announcement last week, that's obviously created quite a bit of debate in the community as to, you know, what's the right way to go with these things. And obviously you have to empathise with low-paid workers, that, you know, everybody deserves to earn a fair and decent living and to be able to pay their way. The flip side of that, of course, is that you then have small businesses that are employing the majority of workers, particularly in some of these areas such as hospitality and tourism and so forth, where you do have a lot of you know, casual workers and the like. That becomes quite a burden, and in fact it becomes almost a two-edged sword, because if it becomes too expensive to employ people, then you really start to take away that primary pathway for social inclusion for vulnerable people. So it really is a bit of a two-edged sword. As I say, whilst you empathise with workers, it's also going to be potentially a negative for employing people. So it could become a situation where those workers may not have the shifts or the jobs that they do have now. And I suppose one of the issues that I'd like to sort of just talk about is, and I won't spend too much time on this issue, but the number of people on the minimum wage is actually a lot lower than what has been put out there. It's really 1.9% of all employees, because I think there's a claim out there that 2.3 million people are earning the minimum wage, and that's actually quite inaccurate. There's only 196,300 people on that minimum wage figure, because the 2.3 million are on award wages, but the vast majority are paid well above the minimum wage. So I think there's a little bit of skewing of the numbers as well.
Yeah, fair enough. And last of all, you're going to be heading off to Canberra on Thursday for a networking day with the Australia-China Business Council. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so the Geelong Chamber of Commerce is a member of the Australia-China Business Council, and this is the first, I guess, foray that we've had into Canberra with this group. We've obviously gone up with other business groups in Geelong. This is one which looks at meeting with a number of high-profile key speakers, such as Julie Bishop, the opposition leader, Bill Shorten, and various other ministers and so forth. And the purpose of it is to really promote Australia and China business relations, looking at such as things that, like the economic benefits of Chinese foreign direct investment, which obviously has had a lot of media interest in the last little while, looking at Chinese tourism and the economic impact on the Australian economy and for business and investment. So there are a number of key areas that we're looking at to meet with some of these key high-profile ministers and government officials, and to look at how we can actually, I suppose, expand the opportunities between Australia and China.
Well, Bernadette, thank you very much for being on the program this morning. Always great to catch up, and we'll speak to you in a fortnight.
Fantastic. Look forward to that.
Thank you very much, Bernadette, who's like there, the CEO of the Geelong Chamber of Commerce. Coming up after the break, we will be looking at the issue of head lice. There's a revolutionary new treatment out there, and I want to find out how it works. That's next on the program.
Mitchell's Front Page with Mitchell Dye. Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11 on 94.7 The Pulse.